1 second, please.
Please, Mr. Kennedy. I need to breathe,
yeah.
Don't need to be a hero. Are you reading me loud and clear? Oh, please, Mr. Kennedy.
Uh-oh,
I yeah. I don't want to go show out of
yeah. I don't even know what to say. That's Please, Mr. Kennedy from Inside Llewyn Davis, one of the many fabulous songs featured in the Coen Brothers' latest film, which I'm sure we'll be discussing. Well, yeah, we will be discussing Inside Llewyn Davis. When we were just talking about this off the air, Eric Childress, Colin Suter joined me. Hi, guys.
Hello.
We were talking about how that song is not eligible for Best Song. Yeah. At the Oscars, which is just, of course, ridiculous.
It's a tragedy.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't even have to do a good show now because we have that song here. Yeah. You know, anytime the show starts sinking, just play that song and we'll be golden again.
Truly, truly one of the most entertaining scenes of the year in any movie. Mm-hmm. And Justin Timberlake and Oscar Isaac and Adam Driver performing this song in just spectacularly entertaining fashion. So, all right, man, it's the year-end show. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, what did you guys think each? We'll start with you, Colin. What did you think of 2013?
You know, a lot of our colleagues are very enthusiastic about this year, and I wish I could share in their enthusiasm. There were a lot of great movies,
yeah.
But there were a lot of things that, you know, things that I love to put on a top 10 list I didn't get to do this year. Animation was bad. We've been saying that all year round. Not a great year for comedies. There's, you know, a lot of subtle comedies, you know, in the last several months that have come out that have been great, but they're not, you know, the first thing you think of. Comedy is not the first thing you think of when you think of some of these films.
Yeah.
And not a good year for, you know, the big summer blockbusters. You know, the summer was pretty lame, too. But I mean, you know, I'm looking at my top 10 list. There's still a lot of great movies.
A lot of great films.
It's just the whole wasn't as good as the sum of its parts.
I think I agree with you, Colin. But the stuff that was good was real good.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, some really exceptional films came out this year. And what about you, Eric?
I agree with you guys. I mean, I've been hearing a lot of people say that, our colleagues of ours are saying, you know, what a great year. It's like the best year in a few years for movies. And all I think about is how awful the summer was. The absolute worst summer I think I've ever experienced as a moviegoer. And really, I think when we get to our list, a good majority of it is going to be October, November, December.
Absolutely.
So we finished strong, but if we're talking about an entire year, there were a couple good things early.
My list didn't start filling up till around October.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was just – and then it was filling up big time.
Oh, yeah.
But, all right, well, without further ado, let's get to it. You know how we do this. Mm-hmm. I've got the top 20, basically. We'll go through.
Yeah.
I call the bottom five between 15 and 20, or 16 and 20. Those are the honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm.
Between 10 and 15, those are the runners-up, and then the top 10 best. So
yeah.
We'll go around, and I'll start it off, and then we'll go to Colin, then we'll go to Eric.
Okay.
So number 20. On my top 20 best films of 2013 is Your Next, which is just a kick-ass horror movie, and funny and full of twists, and one of the most kick-ass female performances, I think, of the year, especially in that genre. Mm. Surprised the heck out of me, and I saw it in the best possible way. You guys know how I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It was at It was at the Flashback convention.
Right.
It was midnight. There was a bar in the theater. They had an open bar in the theater, and it was at midnight. The place was packed, and you know the Flashback fans, they love their horror, and it was one of the most fun experiences I've had in a movie theater all year was Your Next. You guys liked it, right?
Yeah, I liked it.
I haven't seen the movie in 2 years.
Yeah.
Because that movie's been sitting on the shelf since 2011. I saw it at Toronto. I definitely liked the movie, but it's been 2 years.
I think it deserves. I think it deserved a better fate than it got. You know, it was a late August release, right? And then
late August. It didn't do very well.
But it should find an audience. If you're a horror film fan, Your Next is quality.
Comes out this month.
Yeah,
on
it's
DVD.
definitely worth looking. I mean, if you're a horror film, and again, I do want to mention this. Good year for horror. Yeah. 2013.
That genre
was
stepped up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Filled very, in some voids. Very strong year for horror. Mm-hmm. And that's one of them. Okay. And number 20 for Colin.
My number 20 is David Gordon Green's Prince Avalanche. A bit of a comeback for him after that horrible year where he delivered Your Highness and The Sitter. Now he's kind of back in form and doing the things that I love, you know, about him. Not quite as strong as those first four films, but definitely a step in the right direction. It does get better every time I see it. I think Paul Rudd is exceptionally good in it. I like that he's starting to do, you know, a few more dramatic roles now. I think him and Emile Hirsch, you know, we're a good pairing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a really nice poetic turn for him this year. So, and I'm looking forward to next year when Joe comes out, which I'm assuming.
Which is good.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah. So with Nicolas Cage. So I'm looking forward to
Outstanding.
That.
Okay. Yeah. Thank God he's back. All right, yes. Eric.
20 on my list. I've shuffled a lot of 20s in and out. And I eventually settled on I Declare War. You mentioned earlier a lot of good coming-of-age movies that came out this year, and here's one that was very much an R-rated take, yet had sort of there's an innocence about the idea of these kids playing war, but we would see it with real weapons, even though they were just playing with sticks and stones and stuff. I think it was a really clever film. It was funny, appropriately violent when it needed to be. It was a really interesting statement on sort of violence around that age. It also had some very interesting film noir elements to it, that with a femme fatale thrown in there for good measure. A good film, an overlooked film, played our festival, actually.
Yep.
I think, I don't know if it's out on DVD yet, but when it is, people should check that one out.
Okay, I Declare War. All right, number 19 on my list is Evil Dead.
Really?
Yes. A film that I love more and more every time I see it. I have now.
I expected that to be higher.
I dig it. I mean, I do. And I've watched it now, I don't know, 6-7 times.
That's
now.
Too much.
And it just gets crazier every time. I adored the amount of absolute gore on display throughout the entire running time of this movie. And it took a different direction than the original Evil Dead. I know that a lot of people were disappointed with it, but it didn't do the same thing. You know, it didn't try to, like, there's nobody named Ash in it. It doesn't do the same kind of thing. It's a completely different take on it. And I really enjoyed it. Again, terrific horror movie. So, all right. And that's 19 on my list.
My number 19 is a movie that will be out shortly, called The Past. This is by the guy who did A Separation a couple of years ago, and this is another one of those sort of like multi-layered dissections of, you know, a past event that sort of decodes a much deeper problem in a family unit. And, you know, this, I love this guy's movies. I just think the way they unfold, the way the characters interact, you feel like you're in a very uncomfortable room every time, in every scene. And this was, you know, definitely, I think, on par with The Separation.
Okay. So. Mm. All right. And Eric, number 19.
Number 19 from local boy Joe Swanberg, Drinking Buddies.
Yeah.
Is my 19.
Very entertaining movie. Man.
Very entertaining movie. Another, you know, coming of age horror. These genres stepped up. Relationship dramas really stepped up this year. And this was a really special one. Olivia Wilde giving the best performance of her career.
It came out of nowhere.
I mean, I don't think anyone's really known how to use her yet. Yeah. They've tried comedy. They've tried some lighter stuff. But this one, she really shines through. Jake Johnson from New Girl is just terrific in the movie. Great sort of working class Chicago blue collar performance. And it doesn't unfold the way you think it is. I mean, it's not, you know, set up as like a old school romantic comedy or to even be a commentary on that. It's just how, you know, friends, you know, can possibly devolve into something romantic or not.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, one of my favorite endings of any movie this year.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I was watching it, I was like, it's got to end right here. It has to end right here. And it did. And I was like, awesome.
I when I went back to watch it the second time, I forgot how it ended.
Beautiful ending.
I thought that there was something much darker. For some reason, my memory of it was much darker than it actually was. And it does have this really nice, beautiful, kind of perfect ending. And it's one of Swanberg has really taken a leap here, and he's got another movie at Sundance next year. I really hope that this is with Anna Kendrick. Again, Anna Kendrick was in this. So I'm hoping that, you know, this is the next leap for him. Also in your next,
yeah,
Joe Swanberg.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, well, we're back now to number 18. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. 18 is Warm Bodies. I guess I went.
We're not just doing horror tonight.
I guess I went. Warm Bodies, I love this movie.
It's a good movie.
It's a wonderful take on a genre that's been completely, you know, overdone,
mm-hmm.
the zombie movie. I really love the concept of it. It's about a zombie who, you know, he's dead and obviously, but he falls in love with this girl and starts to become more human. Starts mm-hmm. to his heart starts to beat, and I think it's just a wonderful romantic movie. I think there are scenes where they're on a plane,
yeah.
where that he just, you know, he pulls out records and plays them. There's really wonderful. It's a wonderful romantic movie, and also I knew right from the beginning I was going to dig it because I love the opening. Of the whole movie, of the voiceover,
just voiceover.
Of him explaining what it's like to be a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Right out of the gate, I was like, yeah, this is going to be good. So, yeah, Warm Bodies, number 18 on my list.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Very close.
My number 18 is 20 Feet from Stardom. This was also an exceptionally rich year for great music documentaries.
Yeah.
And this one was my favorite. I just think the loose structure of it, the stories that these women and producers have to tell, really engaging, really interesting. You know, one of the best soundtracks of the year,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
Just a really terrific overview of, you know, an aspect of music, American music, that doesn't get talked about very often. And, you know, this one was just a real treat to sit through.
Okay. And Eric, number 18.
18. This is Enough Said, Nicole Holofcener's film with Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Almost made my 20. Almost.
Yeah. And James Gandolfini. Watching it again, it's heartbreaking to know that Gandolfini is not going to be,
horrible.
You know, to do that anymore.
So
because
sad.
it was such a leap, something we hadn't seen him really do. And he's so kind of perfect in the
absolutely.
Movie.
Absolutely. And the chemistry between the two of them is so unlikely and so good.
So
and Julie Louis-Dreyfus is great in it too.
She's really one of the greats, one of the true treasures we have as a comedic actress. Really terrific. Could have easily been a very sitcom-y type movie. It has a sitcom-y type plot to it.
Does.
Something that I wasn't expecting, and they do something very interesting with the dynamics of relationship and how relationships can get poisoned through third hand speech. Something that I've known for way too long.
Yeah.
So Enough Said is a really special movie.
Okay, cool. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We come back, we've got the top 17 movies to talk about. And your phone calls if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Eric and Colin with me for the yearly roundup of the best and worst movies of the year. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Trip Tower. This is one of my favorite scores of the year. This is from Nebraska, which I think has just a wonderful score. A terrific movie. We'll talk about that one coming up. I'm sure we're going to be mentioning Nebraska at some point in the future. Eric and Colin are with us in the studio. As we do every year, we are unveiling our top 20 best movies, top 20 worst movies, and, of course, our subcategories. And if you'd like to join us, that'd be great. 312-981-7200. And actually, our buddy Sergio is on the line, so he always calls in.
Ah, yes.
Hey, Sergio.
Hey, how you doing?
All right,
hey, buddy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Sergio.
I'll make this fast. I'll do a top five.
All right.
Bottom up, five on up. And by the way, I will say that the best documentary, Colin just mentioned it, for me was 20 Feet from Stardom. Absolutely loved that picture to death. I felt incredibly moving.
Yeah.
And the music is terrific.
Yep, agreed.
Okay, I'll go from five up. Five, I'll go with a Raid.
Hmm?
What?
The Raid was last year.
No, The Raid came out in 2013.
No.
No, that was on one of your...
The martial arts movie?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, that was last year.
That was on my list last year, sir.
Yeah.
That was last year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus Christ. I saw it this year.
All right.
Okay, I saw it this year.
Okay, all right. Well, that counts for you then. Okay, right. go ahead. Next, four.
No. I'll start with another five. Number five, then, I will say, is the Hunt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely love The Hunt. Number four, then I would say Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Gravity.
Okay.
Number two, Prisoners.
Yeah.
Last year, Eric. I mean, Nick, you're gonna go crazy.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
I think was Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh man.
Wow, I was not.
I'm telling you, he made up. Scorsese made up for Hugo.
Well, stop it. Stop it.
He made up for Hugo.
Keep going,
I'm watching
Sergio.
Hugo. I'm like, what is this guy doing?
He's doing the book, Invention of Hugo Cabret.
Yeah.
I said, fine. He's back home.
All right.
He's back home.
All right, Sergio. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Sergio.
Yeah.
Hugo rules.
Made my night.
Hugo's awesome.
Hugo stinks.
Hugo's his best movie since Goodfellas.
That's wrong.
You could be right about that.
I am right about it. Wolf of Wall Street,
number
man.
Two on my list that year.
Call in if you hate Hugo and like Wolf of Wall Street.
If you're still watching Wolf of Wall Street, because I'm pretty sure it's still running right now.
That's true.
I guess I'm in the minority on Wolf of Wall Street. I'm sorry.
I think it's polarizing people. I don't think
it
you're
is.
In,
it's polarizing. Yeah.
I just was. I found it endless and just.
God. I'm firmly rooted in the middle of the polarization.
I kind of am too. It's a movie I enjoy in the moment of watching it, and I want to love it.
Right.
I really want to love it because I can tell Scorsese is he's telling the kind of story that he loves to tell. Like clearly, like this is
he's done it
in Casino and everything. Yeah. You know, and that's clearly his thing.
If you close your eyes. DiCaprio's voiceover sounds exactly like Ray Liotta.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the list. We're at number 17. So number 17 on my list is The Way, Way Back. Wonderful coming-of-age movie featuring a fantastic performance by Sam Rockwell. One of my favorite performances of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Really sweet film. I don't like it quite as much as Adventureland, which I think it's kind of a partner to. I think Adventureland's a better film. But I really like this, and I thought it was an interesting directorial debut. Nice performance from the kid, and once again Sam Rockwell. You know what can you say about this guy? He's unbelievable, and I love the fact that like he completely admits that he ripped off Bill Murray in Meatballs.
That's fine.
That's what he says. He goes, I ripped off Bill Murray from Meatballs, and it's like, okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Colin, number 17.
My number 17 is the exact opposite of Wolf of Wall Street in terms of temperament and length. This is a little tiny little character movie played at our festival called This Is Martin Bonner. I compare this movie to the films of Tom McCarthy, the guy who did Station Agent, The Visitor, and Win Win. It's these really small, delicate character movies, about, good people, good flawed people just trying to do the right thing. From a director named Chad Hartigan, who, he made a little movie called Chad and Brie Are on a First Date that I didn't think was that memorable. This movie he excels, and I'm curious to see what he does next because there's not a single misdirected scene in this whole film.
That's cool. All right. And Eric,
My 17 is Blanca Nieves, film that we've talked about before. It's a if you're a fan of The Artist, you should give this one a try because it's another attempt at making a modern day silent film. But if you didn't know that, you would actually think that this was a silent film that was made back in the day, and it's a silent film retelling of the Snow White legend, much better than either of the Snow White movies we had last year.
Yeah.
Much better, much funnier, more entertaining, even a bit darker, very, very grim-like in the storytelling. The best musical score of the year, really old-school silent movie making, just wonderful, Blanca Nieves.
Okay, let's get through this so we can do our top 15 after the break. All right, here's number 16 on my list. I'm just going to say it, and I don't want to hear any crap. Fast and Furious 6 is number 16 on my list. I love those movies, and I make no apologies for it, okay?
All right, fine.
All right, Colin, number 16.
My number 16 is a documentary called Our Nixon, which is about...
Oh, I didn't see this.
Oh, it's terrific. You know, all the home movies that were taken during the Nixon administration by his, top aides have now been released. It's like 500 hours worth of footage. In the White House and everywhere else, and edited together to, the tapes that Nixon, recorded during his whole time there. And it is wonderfully edited, hugely entertaining. You know, I mean, in terms of, you know, the history and everything that happened in Nixon's White House, you're not going to learn anything new. But the behavior and everything that comes to light in this is really interesting to watch. It's streaming on Netflix. It's definitely worth checking out.
All right, Eric, real quick.
16, we're in the horror portion of my section. And We Are What We Are. Mm. Jim Mickle's wonderful remake of the Spanish film about a family that... Well, we're not going to say what they do, but they have a ritual, and they partake in this ritual, and it's about the family sort of rebelling against this ritual. Yeah. Beautifully filmed, shot. Yeah,
beautifully
wonderful
made.
Film.
Missed my top 20, but it's terrific. Okay, you guys, hang on. We've got our top 15 coming up, and 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Quick break, and then it's time for news.
You swam with strength. You loved with grace.
Yeah.
You touched a soul with your expressionless face.
All right.
Dobie, oh Dobie, may you find many treasures.
I wish I thought this was funny, but I don't.
This I think is funny. I'm not crazy about the movie
either.
You didn't think this was funny?
No,
I didn't. I thought this was funny.
Oh, my God.
By that point in the movie, I had zoned out. Anchorman 2, a film that I did not like. Second biggest disappointment, only behind The Wolf of Wall Street, in my opinion. But that's Dobie from Anchorman 2, and we are wrapping up the year. The best and worst movies of the year. Colin Suter, Eric Childress join me every year. And so we're giving our top 20 here. We did our 20 through 16, and we'll recap that real quick. On my list, number 20 is You're Next. Number 19 is Evil Dead. Number 18 is Warm Bodies. Number 17 is The Way, Way Back. And number 16 is Fast and Furious 6, baby. All right, Colin, recap.
Number 20, Prince Avalanche. Number 19, The Past. Number 18, 20 Feet from Stardom. 19, This is Martin Bonner. And 16, Our Nixon.
Okay. And Eric?
Number 20, I Declare War. 19, Drinking Buddies. 18, Enough Said. 17, Blanca Nieves. And 16, We Are What We Are.
Okay.
That's 15 different movies.
That's right.
Right?
I think so. I don't think we have
a single match yet.
We don't have a match yet. I figured you guys weren't going to put Fast and Furious 6
on. No,
it
was hovering. Was a safe bet. It was, yeah, it was not hovering.
Oh, I know. It was hovering near 50, I think.
If that had a hoverboard, it wouldn't be hovering.
Number 15 on my list is Short Term 12, with a really wonderful couple of performances. It's a nice low-key film. Kind of just was under the radar. Mm-hmm. It really didn't do what I thought it should have done at the box office. But really wonderful performances, really well directed, some really memorable stuff in there. I think some of the best acting that I've seen all year. So that's Short Term 12. That's number 15.
Mm-hmm. My number 15 is along those same lines, only twice as long. Blue is the Warmest Color. Really, like you said, low-key, natural, coming-of-age movie, first romance between two women. And I thought the lead performances were great. I never, even at its length, got the feeling that the movie was, you know, overstaying its welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Right,
15 on my list is The Conjuring. James Wan's just a wonderful haunted house tale from this past summer. A huge hit. Just wonderfully old school spooky with a tremendous horror, tremendous performances all up and down, but particularly from Lily Taylor.
Yeah, Lily Taylor's great.
And a finale that really delivers all the jolts that you want. A really great horror movie.
All right. All right, number 14 on my list was mentioned by Sergio. Number 14 on my list is Prisoners, which I just thought was a terrific movie with some really strong acting, particularly Hugh Jackman, who I think is just tremendous in it. It's really sort of depressing. It's dark. Mm-hmm. It doesn't pull back from going there. And I think a remarkable set of performances all the way around. And I also love the ending. I thought the blackout at the end was pretty cool. So I'm a big fan of Prisoners. I thought it was great. So that's 14. Go ahead.
My number 14 is one of the crazier movies of the year, Upstream Color.
Jeez.
you know, it definitely warrants repeat viewings. I certainly
think?
I certainly don't. I certainly understand why somebody wouldn't like it after watching it the first time.
I've only seen it the one time.
Yeah,
I couldn't make heads or tails out of it.
No, I know, but you know, to me, I always describe it as, you know, a Richard Kelly movie by way of Terrence Malick. It's just it's weird.
It's dead on.
It's beautiful. It's strange. It's poetic. And I watched it a third time this week, and I still love it. So
okay.
Upstream Color.
Okay. a movie that would probably go well with Upstream Color in a different kind of way. A documentary called How to Make Money Selling Drugs. this is a documentary that tells you exactly what the title tells you. The director takes you through sort of the course of how you, if you want to become a drug dealer, this is the way to do it. But then he switches gears midway through, as he should. And how the development of drug dealers and the drug trade has led way to corruption, particularly in the way that the drug trade is handled, and why people can continue to make money selling drugs because of the way that the government and local law enforcement and prisons have handled drugs over the years. It's a really fascinating, really unique documentary that people should find and check out.
Okay. I didn't see that one.
I didn't either.
Oh, it's so good.
Number 13 on my list is Dallas Buyers Club, featuring what I think is the best performance of the year with Matthew McConaughey. A great performance by Jared Leto. I thought it was a terrific movie. I was engrossed in it, and tells a true story, and I think it tells it well. A remarkable performance by Matthew McConaughey, who had an incredible year. And when does a True Detective start?
The 12th.
Okay,
yes.
So we got
next Sunday.
Next Sunday night.
Week from Sunday.
On HBO.
Week from tomorrow.
True Detective with him and Woody Harrelson.
Which I hear is fabulous.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. So great year for Matthew McConaughey. Really enjoyed Dallas Buyers Club. That's number 13 on my list. All right, Colin?
My number 13 is Inside Llewyn Davis, the Coen brothers' latest movie that... I wasn't sure how much I liked it the first time I saw it, and then I realized it's not a movie, it's an album. Every little scene or every little character who comes in and out of this guy's life is a song. And if you look at it that way, it's a really interesting film. And one of the best soundtracks of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Number 13 on my list is another documentary, The Act of Killing. It's a movie that really just kind of leaves you in awe, and just how audacious the premise behind this movie is, and confronting the sort of Indonesian gangsters who are responsible for literally, you know, killing, you know, probably hundreds of people, and showing you how they did it.
I don't even know what to say about this.
Yeah,
yeah.
And to have these guys sort of simultaneously showing you how they did these murders and also kind of humiliating them in the process in a weird kind of way. And the movie ends on the most sort of potent dry heave.
Yes,
I think has ever been in a movie before. And that's how you kind of feel at the end of this movie. I saw this movie twice, and I don't know how I got through it twice.
I've only seen it one time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The Act of Killing, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Man. Yeah,
we're past the holidays.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Number 12 on my list is a movie that nobody dug except me, Disconnect.
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
It falls into that Nick DiGilio, you know,
Magnolia
pattern where there's like 12 different stories going on at the same mm-hmm. time, and I thought it said a lot about, you know, technology and current the way we live our lives mm-hmm. now. Great performances all the way around the board, and it just proves that Jason Bateman can kind of do anything, and because he's really terrific in it, and it's mm-hmm. not a comedic performance at all. But I really liked it. I thought the film had a lot to say. It said it well, and I was intrigued by the entire film. So I really enjoyed Disconnect, which mm-hmm. was number 12 on my list.
Number 12 on my list is Sarah Polley's documentary, Stories We Tell, which is a really brave piece of work. Just Sarah Polley exploring her family roots and, you know, her mom and who her real dad is. And, you know, this movie doesn't go where you think it's always going to go, and it's really interesting to watch the story unfold, and still not really sure if you're really seeing the whole story and the full story. And it's a great movie about how stories are told, getting passed down generation to generation, how they become distorted in a way. So yeah, Stories We Tell, number 12.
I got a feeling we're going to be.
We're not done with that.
No, I know that.
No, yeah. we're getting into that portion now. We're going to get some repeats coming up.
Yep. We're getting close. Yep. Yeah. Okay, Eric, next.
Number 12. And I didn't plan this. Short term 12. this is my number 12. This is a film that I saw at South by Southwest, and this type of film. The kind of films that are kind of a dime a dozen in a way at film festivals that I go to. I see, at least 5-6 of these, every festival. But this one was much better than any of them. It had a real honesty to it. Brie Larson, a tremendous lead performance. Yeah. A film about, people taking care of kids, underprivileged kids. They don't like to be called that in the movie. But kids are sort of cast aside, have family problems, and are in this, this institution that the they stay there and then they can't leave unless they can escape. But it's a really, really affecting piece of work that was really, really hit me the second time that I saw it. So Short Term 12.
Yeah, it got me a second time too.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. It's a terrific movie. That's the first one. Is that their first dual mention?
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. So number 11, this one's not going to make Eric happy.
Okay.
The Spectacular Now.
No,
I'm happy.
Is number 11. A wonderful film, I thought, with a couple of great performances. Really great coming-of-age movie. And I know that, Eric has issues with it because the lead character, you find him pretty repulsive.
Repulsive.
Yeah. And what's her name, the actress's name?
Shailene Woodley.
She's so good in this.
She's the best thing in the movie.
It's a great performance. I think the movie is heartbreaking and really, what's the guy's name? Miles?
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller is the lead in it. And it was written and directed by
The
guy who did Smash, which I liked.
Yeah.
So, and this guy likes
James Ponsoldt.
He likes
his name.
Making movies about drinking.
Yes,
that's for sure. but yeah, I was deeply moved by it. I thought some of the acting was great and a beautiful script. So I liked it, and I can understand. But Eric, I can totally understand the reaction you had to it. He's not a likable character, but that doesn't bother me. It didn't bother me, and it didn't prevent me from taking that journey with him. Wonderful scene where he finally reunites with his dad.
Kyle Chandler.
Yeah, Kyle Chandler. Just terrific. One of the best scenes, I think, of the year. But The Spectacular Now. I thought it was terrific. And Colin?
My number 11 is also a coming-of-age movie with a couple of nice performances. We Are What We Are. my favorite horror movie of the year.
Uh-huh.
You got to use the term horror lightly with this one for people who don't know about it, because if you're going to this movie expecting, a quality kill every 20 minutes, it's not that kind of movie.
No.
It is more about mood and atmosphere. But don't worry, the quality kill is coming. Just stick with it, and you will not be disappointed in one of the best endings I've ever seen, ever. And I love this guy's work. He did a movie called Stakeland that
terrific.
I thought was really great.
Yeah.
And in both movies, I watch it and I go, I can't believe that's Kelly McGillis right now.
What, I know.
What happened?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a great film.
Okay.
Check it out.
All right. Yeah. Number 11 for Eric.
Number 11 is a film that surprised me even how high I had it ranked. And going back to revisit it, it stayed there. Steven Soderbergh's Side Effects was a film that I loved when it came out way back in last February. And rewatching it again, it didn't lose an ounce of pleasure.
It's a pretty crazy movie.
It's a crazy movie. I could reference other couple of movies that it's kind of like, but I don't want to spoil anything for people who don't know about it. But I think it's a sort of a very interesting satire about the pharmaceutical industry combined with a very clever Hitchcockian thriller.
Yeah.
Jude Law, one of the best performances he's given in a while. Rooney Mara is terrific in the movie. Channing Tatum in the movie, and that's fine. But this just missed making my top 10. That's how much I really like this movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It really is. One of two interesting movies that Soderbergh made in 2013, the other being the Liberace movie. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we get right into the top 10, and we'll do a recap in case you missed any of them. Right here, it's Eric and Colin in here, and you want to jump in with your movies, 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Trib Tower. Here till midnight tonight, full show, and we're doing our expanded coverage of movies for 2013. What you are hearing is from the score to the movie Her. I also have a feeling we'll be talking about that movie a little bit later on. That's just a hunch that I have. Tell everybody who did that score.
Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. My boy. Well, my boys and girls.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's 63 people in that band.
Right. Uh-huh. Exactly. Uh-huh. And I'll be seeing them in Cleveland in March.
Oh, you're going to Cleveland.
Yes.
Huh?
Okay. Yes.
Did you guys see the episode, the Tina Fey Arcade Fire episode of
yes.
SNL
mm-hmm.
when they did member of Arcade Fire or new cast
yes.
member?
Yes. I love that.
That was hilarious.
That was funny.
Wynn Butler does a good Robert De Niro.
He does. It was very funny. Okay. All right. So let's recap for everybody who's just maybe tuning in. We're doing our top 20 best films of the year. We have our worst and we have our favorite subcategories as well that we're going to be talking about. And we're here till midnight. And if you guys want to jump in, the phone lines are open. Anytime you want to jump in with a movie question or a comment or your favorites or least favorites of the year, 312-981-7200. Okay, we'll recap. Number 20 on my list is Your Next. Number 19 is Evil Dead. Number 18, Warm Bodies. Number 17, The Way, Way Back. Number 16, Fast and Furious 6. Number 15, Short Term 12. Number 14, Prisoners. Number 13, Dallas Buyers Club. Number 12, Disconnect. And number 11, The Spectacular Now. Colin, what about you?
Number 20, Prince Avalanche. Number 19, The Past. Number 18, 20 Feet from Stardom. Number 17, This is Martin Bonner. Number 16, Our Nixon. Number 15, Blue is the Warmest Color. 14, Upstream Color. 13, Inside Llewyn Davis. 12, Stories We Tell. And 11, We Are What We Are.
Okay.
Okay, and my list, number 20 is I Declare War. 19, Drinking Buddies. 18, Enough Said. 17, Blanca Nieves. 16, We Are What We Are. 15, The Conjuring. 14, How to Make Money Selling Drugs. 13, The Act of Killing. 12, Short Term 12. And 11, Side Effects.
All right, cool. Now we'll get into the top 10. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Eric is a listener who posted his 10 favorite movies of 2013 on our Facebook page. And his, Eric, our number 10 is 12 Years a Slave. Number 9 is Blue is the Warmest Color. Number 8 is Frances Ha. Number 7, Frozen. Number 6, Fruitvale Station. Number 5, Gravity. Number 4, Her. Number 3, Inside Llewyn Davis. Number 2, you guys are going to love this one, Pacific Rim. Mm-hmm. And number 1, Upstream Color. Pacific wow. Rim almost made my top 20.
I'm surprised it didn't. I've been waiting to hear about it, actually.
No, I loved it, but yeah. it just didn't quite make it. Mm. All right, we ready for the top 10? Here we go.
Let's do this.
Number 10 on my list is The World's End, the latest from Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost. I love these guys. I saw this movie 3 times in 2 days when it was in the theaters. And these guys, you know, I don't even know what to say anymore. They're so awesome. Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and this. It's a wonderful trilogy. And it's funny. It's fresh. Edgar Wright's a terrific filmmaker. And it's just very, very funny, you know, and it's also a really good movie about guys, about how guys yeah. behave, which I have a liking to that kind of stuff. I have a soft spot in my heart for that.
And it's about drinking.
And it's mm-hmm. about drinking. Yep. It is. So, you know, it's these guys, they're, you know, like in their 40s now, and they're trying to recreate a pub crawl that they did and finish some years ago when they were very young. None of them really want to do it. Simon Pegg is sort of this boisterous jerk who wants these guys to recreate their youth, and so they go on this pub crawl, and then something happens. Their old hometown is somehow
it's different.
It has there's some
changes.
Yes. Yeah. And then it takes a crazy twist and. Just remarkably funny stuff. One of my favorites. So, World's End, number 10.
I am, I gotta say, I'm quite shocked that we have a match and that, because my number 10 is also The World's End.
Nice.
And I really thought it was gonna be way higher on your list.
I would have, too.
Because I remember last summer you were saying it was your favorite film of the year so far, or one or two or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just, everything you said, I completely echo, and it is the best. Straight out comedy of last year.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, there's movies, you know, that are, you know, sort of comedies that are on my list, but this one, like, the best fallout comedy of last year.
Without
no question.
Yeah.
No
All right. And Eric, number 10?
Number 10 is Inside Llewyn Davis, a film that I really liked the first time. But like Colin, you go in and you watch a Coen Brothers movie a second time, and it gets richer and deeper. And you, the first time, you sort of soak in exactly, you know, the sort of the pace and the tone that they're going for. And here's an example of a character that is kind of a jerk,
yeah.
You know, like your guy from Spectacular Now. But he's a more fascinating jerk, and he's a talented jerk to an extent. But I love the idea of the sort of that middle guy, that sort of in between guy that, you know, that probably could be more successful if he didn't hold himself back, but he's better than the guys that are successful and are, you know, getting all the fame. And watching this movie, I mean, when Colin said it's like an album, it's a perfect description of this movie, and it even has the sort of this revolution to it, you know, the way it sort of doubles back on itself, you know, by the end of the film, in a really kind of interesting and surprising way. And you could watch this movie with your eyes closed and just sort of absorb the dialogue and the music. And it's really funny. It's loose, and it's really jumped up on my list. If I saw it a third time, it might even be higher.
Yeah. We got to mention John Goodman. Is just spectacular in this movie, and yet another great performance that John Goodman has given in a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He seems to do some of his best work with those guys.
Yes,
there's no question about it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We are in the middle of doing our top 10 best movies of the year. We have worst coming up, plus our subcategories. And again, the phone lines are open if you want to join us. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Eric Childress, Colin Suter, they review movies with me every Saturday evening, and this is our year-end special. So we got a lot more movies to talk about, a lot of performances, and we're analyzing 2013, the movie year. 312-981-7200, the news is next.